Welcome to Unveiled, the HPD podcast, where we dive into the world of policing. I'm your host, Sergeant Matt Bond, and today we are joined by Detective Jeff Lawrence and Detective Jill Duskowski. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
As you all know, back in August of 2023 is when we built this unit up. It started off with just myself and Jill. Shortly thereafter, you came along, Jeff, and we recently have hired on another detective, Detective Karen Schuler. Mm-hmm. So just to dive into everything and kind of let the public know what we do and what we're attempting to accomplish with establishing this unit, why don't we just start off and kind of give a brief overview of where we're at and what we've done to get to where we're at this point.
Okay. As you said, we started, or you've been here, I started part-time as a part-time detective for the cold case unit in August of 2023. When we came in, we had a lot of meetings to discuss when the cold case, when to start from. So we have cases from 1972 to currently 2021, and there's a total of 95 cold, unresolved homicide cases right now that we went in to organize, find, put in a central location, and it was a lot of paperwork, as you know. And then I was super happy to have Jeff join, who's retired from Hampton Police Division. When he came in, he helped me to get organized as well.
Yeah, when I came along, Jill was just getting into the organization and of all the cases. My part was really to contact all the next of kins, to try to research and find some of the updated information for the next of kin, contact them, kind of let them know where we are, where we stand in the department with in this unit, which was at some points a positive thing, and there were some negative responses as well. The positives were that they, as victims or next of kin of victims, they felt like they were being supported by the local police department here in Hampton, and that we were still, you know, looking into their victim's case. And they didn't feel like they were left behind or forgotten about, even though some of our cases go back to 1972. We did have some negative responses because, which I kind of understand, which opened up some bad wounds, as you might call it, where they felt, you know, after a certain time, they may have been able to grieve, and now the grievance is open again, and now they have to have this in the back of their mind. So a little bit difficult making those phone calls. But I think overall, explaining to them that the, you know, police department has made sure that we have two detectives dedicated to just the unresolved homicides. I think in their, as an end result, the positivity was probably felt by them, you know, more than not.
Right. And now we have three because we just added the third. And with yourself and Detective Schuler, both of you being retired from Hampton, and Detective Duskowski, you retired from Newport News as a captain. And among the four of us, we have over 100 years of law enforcement experience. And, you know, I think you brought up a good point, Jeff. I think it's, you know, while it may have been somewhat hurtful because, you know, people do go through the grieving process, and then, you know, they kind of, not to say that they forget, but it's a little easier to deal with them when you put it in the back of your mind and it's not bar up as a fresh wound, and then you bring it up the fresh wound. But it's something that, even though it was hard for us to do, it was something that was needed because, you know, we needed a fresh set of eyes to look into these cases. And we also needed to find out what they have told to some of these past detectives that are retired or even passed away that we don't have the firsthand knowledge of, and to pick their brain, so to speak, to figure out, you know, where we can go moving forward to possibly help try and bring, you know, a successful resolution to their case.
So yeah, and that was one of the things that I found interesting, because when we introduced ourselves and let them know what we were doing, we did come across a lot of victims or, you know, family members, I should call them, that would have some information or had some, you know, interest in trying to, you know, bring this information to us. We did have a few of them that wanted to come in and talk to us in person, which we welcomed. We welcomed with open arms. I mean, come on in, talk to us about your case, talk to us about what you may know from the streets or from within the family unit, maybe what you've heard. That little bit of information might be able to get us to a point where we're able to make a move, or small bit of information might put us in the right direction to heading towards that. So asking them if they had any information or any, you know, anything they wanted to offer was another thing that I feel like they felt like we were really there for them and really kind of making it more comfortable to kind of open this back up and talk about.
Right.
But they were very appreciative. Like I said, most of them were.
I had that experience that most of the loved ones that we talked to were very happy that we were contacting them and updating them about the creation of the unit, where we were, and different steps that we were taking as a unit as far as organizing and then calling next of kins and then eventually to be meeting with, which we're going to talk about later, our forensics unit to see where the evidence was and what new technology was available. And they were very happy to be updated.
Right.
Yeah, I think the next steps that we were giving them in advance to say, hey, these are our intentions, these are our next steps to kind of looked at, because some of the cases were so old that some of the technology's obviously changed and has been upgraded, and that obviously changes within just a couple of years. So, you know, I think that that was a positive response too.
Well, and by contacting them, it gives us a starting point and a direction to head. And then as well as with the organization of the cases, you know, you can filter through and say, this needs immediate attention now, where we need to send maybe something off to the lab because, you know, it does have, you know, possibly some DNA or fingerprints or evidence that needs to be looked further into because of the developments in, you know, or advances in technology. So getting into that, if you would, Jill, can you just mention and bring up so everyone knows, like, the different partnerships that we've had and with mm-hmm. the different organizations that we've worked with?
Yeah, well, I mean, as far as in-house, definitely our forensics unit. We've met with them several times, and we go over what evidence we have in each case and what we can and cannot do as far as that. I have to say, crime analysis, we've worked with them a lot to get numbers and to get names and to get dates and to help us as far as be able to fill out our spreadsheet that we created. Partnerships outside, Virginia State Police, we've partnered with them. We have actually entered all 95 cases into their database, their cold case database. And if you Googled it or you typed in Virginia cold case database, you'd be able to see by city in Virginia the cold cases for those cities. So we have all of ours in there, and there's like a little box. It's very easy. It's very user-friendly. There's a little box there that you can click on if you wanted to give information. You can be anonymous, and that information will come directly to us. So we're hoping people that are watching this podcast, if they know of any information or they, you know a loved one or a friend that was hurt over the years in Hampton, that they would, and they have information, that they would feel comfortable giving it that way. We've also partnered with FBI. There are some of us in the cold case unit that are on a task force with the FBI. We also, VICAP, we've been able to enter cases into VICAP, which is basically the same thing, but a national database of our cold case homicides and missing persons. So we are still in the process of entering that because it is a more thorough entry that needs to be done per case. So yeah, we're getting the information out there where before, like especially with the older cases, they were in binders, they're paper, and you know, we have a records management system where those papers are scanned in, but this way the information is getting beyond just the city. It's going out regionally, nationally, so.
Right.
If I could piggyback on the, you know, working with within our department, I personally made time to go to each of the shifts lineups with the officers and making sure that they were aware that myself and Jill were in, you know, we did have this unit and that's our, what our job was, and if when they, so just so they'd be more aware that, hey, we do have dedicated detectives in the unit, and you know, if they do come across somebody out in the public on a regular call or just in general, that they would be able to take the right information, go right to us or come to us, because again, we were retired and then we've come back, so a lot of them weren't even familiar with our faces, and I think that kind of puts a little bit more confidence in the officers and knowing that, hey, we can help you, or if someone, or we have a detective that can help you and has knowledge of your case, and help our citizens as well. Just feeling a little bit more confident and comfortable with the fact that these cases are being dealt with.
All right. And just to circle back into the in-house partnerships and advances in technology and whatnot, getting back to the very beginning of how you guys started the show off, just the organization and the filing systems and the gathering of everything in and of itself was in fact a chore. I mean, you know, but then once we got all that into place and then the contacting of the next of kin and then digging our teeth into each individual case, going back, you know, some of the cases in the late 70s, especially the early 80s, where they did in fact take, you know, DNA from crime scenes, it was tested. However, you know, there's been so many advances in that technology that meeting with our forensic unit and finding out what we can and can't send, what's useful or not useful. So that's something that we're working as an angle as well, and hoping that those things come back with a positive return that can be able to help us, again, bring a successful resolution in many of these cases. Getting into the partnership with the FBI, we have had one success story already. Could you elaborate on that for us a little bit, Jill?
Sure. We did. We had DNA that came back to a cold rape and homicide case from 1989 for Teresa Powell. And we actually were able to fly her loved ones, her family out here, and along with the FBI, give them notification that we did have DNA evidence from the crime in 1989 that did come back to a suspect that was also a suspect in a case that we're working on a federal task force. So it was good to be able to tell the family after 30 plus years that we know who did this to your loved one.
Yeah, that's always been one of the most rewarding and gratifying parts of this job for me. I don't know about you guys, but to actually not only feel that sense of accomplishment, but to feel the love and the emotion from a family that is, you know, fallen pretty much victim to one of their family members or close loved ones being a victim of a homicide, and then to finally break the news to them that, hey, look, we figured this out, especially in a case that's so old as that one was.
And I know one of the family members, like, they were children when their mother was taken, and to be able to give that, and I don't believe in closure per se, but to be able to give that information and just that feeling that we know who did it and this person's not going to hurt anyone again.
Right. So moving forward, if there is anyone out there watching that'd like to help or get involved and they do have information, minus the crime line, which is 1-888-LOCK-YOU-UP, could we just kind of reiterate back to the two websites that they can go on and maybe even review some of the cases that we've entered into there? They have pictures, they have the names, the dates, the locations, a brief synopsis of each case, mm-hmm. Kind of telling, you know, the history of the case, where they can go to find that information and maybe possibly leave us a tip that could help us out.
Yeah, again, it's a Virginia Cold Case Database. Again, you can type in, it's very user-friendly. You can type in the city that you want for Hampton, and then if you have the person's name, you can use the search bar with the last name, and it'll bring you right to it. And then it'll say leave a tip, and you can click on leave a tip, and it'll come directly to me in our unit. So please, if you know anything, and if you have any information, even if you don't think it's important, it may be important. So remember that not... Some people say, well, I remember that, but what I know isn't important. Let us decide that. Like,
exactly,
anything that you want to tell us, we're happy to look into. And again, with I think a lesson that we learned too is documenting. Like, we're making sure that we're documenting things that we have done and investigations that we have assisted with, that so 20, 30 years from now, if we're not here, that other people know what we've done and how to work from that. The other is VICAP, FBI VICAP, V-I-C-A-P. If you just type that in, they have a national database of all cold cases and missing persons cases. And again, my name is, if you want to email me, is E. Daskowski, D-A-S-Z-K-O-W-S-K-I at hampton.gov. Please feel free to email me anytime. I check it all the time. And my desk number, 757-727-6223. And you can leave me a message, and I will get back to you as soon as possible.
And, of course, my name is Jeff Lawrence, and my email at the police department is J, as the letter J, Lawrence, L-A-W-R-E-N-C-E, at hampton.gov. Again, we worked, the one thing also that I did, we can point out to this, is that we do work part-time. We're not every day at the desk or at our office, but we will respond as soon as we get into the office and by our email, and to make sure that, you know, your information is taken.
Right. Is there anything else that you guys would like to add or think that the public should know? I think the biggest thing that I personally would like to get out in regards to our unit and to the public is, you know, with it being such a new unit, only been up and running since August of 23, is that a lot of people out there probably don't even know of our existence. And I just want the word to get out to the general public that, hey, look, if you have information regarding to an old homicide case, if you'd like to come forward, there are means to do that, and we're more than willing and happy to take that information and run with it. But I didn't know if there was anything else that I may have missed or skimmed over that you guys would like to hit on and bring up.
I personally do not have anything that I can think of, but I think it is important, like what you said. So I would probably agree with what, you know, what you said is important to take. So
I would just say that, I would reiterate that please reach out and contact us, because any information is good information. And if you're watching this podcast and you know of someone who may have information, let them know. They can come forward, and they don't have to give us their name and their address or they don't have to come to headquarters. They can contact us, talk to us over the phone, so it's not invading their comfortability with talking to us. And I think every family member of these victims, they want to know what happened to their loved one and who hurt their loved one. And we want to make that possible. We want to help make that possible. And that's our goal.
Right. That's our ultimate goal. Well, I appreciate you guys joining us today. And hopefully this helps get the word out to the public, and we can have some excellent results from our efforts here today. And to all of you, appreciate it very much. Thank you for joining us. This is HPD's podcast. We're signing off. Stay safe, Hampton.
Thanks for joining us for Unveil, a podcast highlighting the extraordinary men and women of the Hampton Police Division. To learn more, check us out on our social media and at hampton.gov/police.